This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Waiting. I got things to do. You remember the Kinks? Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. We're going to try to take the Kinks out of politics here in a few minutes. I am Paul Molloy, and along with my buddy and my partner, Big Ed Davis, thank you for joining us on this kind of coolish morning in Tampa Bay, Friday, December 6th. Again, we appreciate your listening to us. We are going to be talking in a few minutes with Adam Michael. He is of the Heritage Foundation. And we're going to talk about the $3.2 trillion tax plan of Uncle Joe Biden. So stay tuned for that. And as you know, Nancy Pelosi says they're going to proceed with impeachment, whatever that really means. This on the eve of the release of the Inspector General's report into spying on the Trump campaign. That's coming out Monday. So with that kind of timing, we're going to get the thoughts of the proprietor of the Barber Poll, Andrew Ceraci. So I know you'll want to stay tuned for his feelings. And the Supreme Court meeting today to see if the Constitution gives homeless people the right to sleep on the sidewalk. Do they have that right? Kind of interesting, isn't it? We're going to talk about that as well. And in our Freedom Works Ultimate Top 10, you won't find homeless people in front of these places. The top 10 richest towns in America. The top 10 richest towns in America. By the way, Freedom Works, sponsored in part by Andrew's Master Barbershop. If you want to get, guys, you want to get the best haircut you can get in Tampa Bay, you got to get all prettied up for the holiday season, don't you? You got to get over to Dunedin. Andrew's shop is located on Overcash Drive in the Overcash Plaza. It's just a little plaza. Can't miss his barbershop in there. Just north of State Road 580. Just north of it in Dunedin. And also, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, we do the show here. Freedom Works. But if you want to hear us anytime that your little heart feels like it, you can go to our website, OurFreedomWorks.com. O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. And click on the podcast link. You can listen to any show. Big Ed's got every show listed for you in chronological order, most recent show first. Makes it easy. You'll know who the guest is in the top 10 as well. Well, we got, you know, I was watching Nancy Pelosi stand there, I would say rather sanctimoniously yesterday, to announce they're going to proceed with impeachment. As if she was doing a wake, in front of the people that had, were attending a funeral. But I just wondered what was inside of her heart. I think probably, good Lord, I wonder if I got enough votes for carrying this through. Well, we're going to talk about that a little bit later. In the meantime, despite Nancy Pelosi, the job market, a stellar performance in November. Non-farm payrolls are up by 266,000. That's a large number, a very large number. The unemployment rate has fallen to 3.5%. That is the lowest rate in 50 years. The lowest rate in 50 years. This easily beat the Wall Street consensus. People there had been looking for solid job growth, about 190,000. This is 266. And they thought the unemployment rate would hold at 3.6. It went down to 3.5. So this is amazing in many ways. That means about 159 million people in this country were working last month. That is a record number of people working in this country. I don't know. How do you impeach a guy when everything is so good? Doesn't it make people that are trying to get him out of office look kind of, look kind of weird? You would think so. Also, got to tell you, the tax cuts, Trump's tax cuts 2 years ago, has pushed the U.S. tax burden to one of the lowest in the world among major economies. Now, that's according to a report that was released yesterday. It says last year, U.S. tax burdens plummeted as a result of the $1.5 trillion tax cut, sending U.S. revenue lower than all but three countries in the Organization of Economic Cooperation and Development. It says, driven by the major tax reforms Trump signed into law in 2017, the law slashed the corporate tax rate to 21% from 35% and temporarily reduced individual taxes in all levels of government. So, in the meantime, we have great unemployment rates. And by the way, you know, whenever you lower tax rates, you actually get more money coming in to the government. Now, that doesn't mean that we're not going to have a larger deficit, because the government is spending more money every year. But it's still taking in more money now than it's ever taken in before. So don't let anybody fool you when they say that Trump's tax cuts means there's less money coming into the coffers of the federal government. Not true. It's not true at all. Okay, we're going to take our little break. And when we come back, Adam Michelle of the Heritage Foundation.
Then you know why I feel blue without Peggy. My Peggy Sue.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
If you would like to become a wholesale buyer of the premium quality longevity product that you hear about right here on the Tantalk Radio Network for personal service, you can pick up the phone right now and call Lola at 727-441-3311. Again, that's Lola at 727-441-3311. Or for even faster service, log on to TantalkHealth.com. That's TantalkHealth.com. Here's your health and longevity.
Hi, this is Jay Leno.
Hey, this is Ted Nugent.
Hi, everybody. This is David Hobbs.
Hi, this is Bob Varshall.
Hey, this is Danny the Count Coker.
Hey, this is comedian, author, and most importantly, vintage race car driver Adam Carolla.
Hi, this is Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney.
I'm John Forrest.
Hey, this is Jack Roush.
And you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
That's Nostalgic Radio and Cars with the most fascinating and legendary names in motorsports every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
Listen to the latest pet trends with benefits on the Pet Buzz every Saturday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Join pet trendologist Charlotte Reed and veterinarian Dr. Michael Fleck as they talk all things pets. From animal health and wellness, money-saving tips, celebrity gossip, breaking news, and more. Their expert guests are in the know and in the now. To learn more about this unique program and its hosts, tune in to the show on the Tan Talk Radio Network.
This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back on a Friday. And delighted to have back Adam Michelle of the Great Heritage Foundation. And we're going to talk about Uncle Joe Biden's tax plan. You know, in all this impeachment imbroglio, you don't really look back on what are the proposals of these other people that are vying for the presidency. And certainly Joe Biden is at the front right now of the Democratic presidential contenders. He's got a plan which apparently would raise about $3.2 trillion over a decade. Adam, welcome back to Freedom Works.
Thanks for having me back on.
So I look at his $3.2 trillion tax idea over 10 years, and then I look at what Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders, who are vying for the same job, they want to raise around $20 trillion. So it makes Joe Biden look kind of penurious here. What do you think?
That's what Joe Biden is hoping to sell to you.
I think
this idea that his plan is somehow moderate, but it's anything but moderate. It's raises revenue by about 10%. That's about $1 trillion more than Obama was willing to propose raising in revenue. He raises 8 existing taxes, adds 2 new taxes into the mix, and all of this is just to support new spending. It doesn't even close the $1 trillion deficit that we have here in Washington. So it's I think it just illustrates how far to the left the Elizabeth Warrens, the Bernie Sanders of the world have pulled the Democratic Party. It's just preposterous to call this a moderate proposal.
One of the things he would do is bump back the corporate tax rate, currently at 21%, to 28%. We just read a story, don't know if you heard it, Adam, about how the U.S. tax burden is now one of the world's lowest in the economic power countries, which I think would be a good thing. But he wants to bump that back up.
Yeah, well, that report that you referenced is here in Washington, among the chattering classes, it seems to be portrayed as a bad thing.
Yeah.
Oh, how ghastly it is that the United States has brings in some of the lowest revenue as a percent of our economy than our other.
Yeah. Why
nations.
Aren't these
I think that's
people
a, that's
shelling out more? Why aren't they shelling out more money?
Exactly. But I say that's a great start. I think we can do even better. I want to be the country that brings in the least revenue. That should be matched mm-hmm. on the spending side, obviously. But the when we talk about how much more freedom the American people have, one important metric is how much more money do I control rather than what part of what I earn the government controls.
Right.
So this it sort of gets at this fundamental divide between where the left wants to take us and the sort of pro-growth agenda that's on the other side.
And I'm sorry, you go right ahead. I was just going to add a little caveat. You go ahead.
I was getting back to the Joe Biden's plan to re-raise the corporate tax is just one sign of this. This idea that somehow businesses have these big piles of money sitting around that they don't do anything with. But when we actually look at the what happens is when business taxes go up, it's ultimately workers that foot a large portion of that bill through lower wages, through less investment, less research and development, lower productivity gains. And so these plans from the far left are really just a disguised way of taxing the middle class and low-wage workers by kneecapping their economic opportunities.
We're talking with Adam Michelle. He focuses on tax policy and the federal budget as a senior policy analyst at the Grover Hermann Center, part of the Heritage Foundation. And we're talking about Uncle Joe's big tax plan of $3.2 trillion. Adam, you know one thing, and it always drives me crazy when I hear it. Those that are opposed to lower taxes in general will cite the fact that Ronald Reagan, when he was president and cut taxes, that the deficit went up even higher. But what they don't tell you is he actually, with that idea, brought in more money into the federal government, but at the same time, the Congress voted to increase their spending. So that's what made the deficit go up during, you know, that period of time. More money was coming in, but they were spending even much more than that.
And that's what's happening today. The following the tax cut, Congress turned around and increased spending on an iterative process time and time again. Some of the biggest increases in the budget caps that we've seen, bigger than the increases that happened under Obama. This is our deficit and the debt as a figment of that are everywhere and always a spending problem. I think in over the last year, the federal government increased revenue by about 4% over what they brought in last year. Spending went up by 8%.
Yeah,
that's the problem. The problem is a spending growth problem. And anyone that tells you that the tax cuts are the reason we have a deficit simply isn't looking at the numbers.
You know, Donald Trump is no what do you call it? He doesn't seem to care that much either about federal federal spending, as opposed to most Republicans that have come into the White House, where they've talked at least the game of wanting to cut spending. I don't hear that that much from Donald Trump, but I guess you have to compare. It's a, everything's kind of relative, but how would you assess Trump's philosophy here?
The president is certainly no fiscal hawk, and he's you're right, doesn't seem to care about the deficit, the debt, or the largest drivers of the deficit and debt. And those are sort of the Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, some of the thorniest issues out there. But I think it's we don't want to put too much blame just on the president. I think the difference between the president and other Republicans is most other Republicans talk a big game about caring about the spending side of the equation, but when the rubber meets the road, don't actually do anything about it. At least this president is honest and doesn't try to talk the big game and then not do anything. So this is really a bipartisan problem. Democrats, Republicans, Independents, everyone seems to want to spend increasingly more and more of the American people's money, digging future generations into debt and ultimately slowing the economy.
So Joe Biden is going to be up. Let's just assume that Biden wins the Democratic nomination and he's running against Trump, and he's going to talk about his tax plan versus what's going on right now. And you look at the economy. I mean, if I were Joe Biden, I wouldn't want to be talking anything about money at all, because when you have such a low unemployment rate, and such a, you know, a large percentage of people, I think it's the largest percentage as of in November, the largest number of people working in the United States of all time. I mean, you got to stay off the economy to have even a chance. I mean, I don't know what, but you got to talk about something else, don't you?
That seems to be the case. I mean, I agree with that analysis. So you look at the jobs numbers that came out this morning. We are continuing the track of having an unemployment rate at a 50-year low. We're in the 110th consecutive month of adding new jobs, the longest track of adding new jobs in our history. Wage growth is above 3%. Wage growth for non-supervisory and production workers, the sort of non-manager class, is at growing even faster than the average at 3.7%. I mean, you go sort of tick down the list, the 10th percentile worker, some of the lowest wage earners in America are seeing wage growth at above 6%, almost double the average. This is all tremendous news for Americans across the country. And so the left's agenda is that they want to crush that, raising taxes by $3 trillion or $20 trillion. Either one would just stop in its tracks the economic progress that we're finally seeing after a 10-year slow recovery.
We're talking with Adam Michel. Again, he is an expert on tax policy and the federal budget. from the Grover Herman Center of the Heritage Foundation, and we're trying to figure out how Joe Biden is going to sell a $3.2 trillion tax plan over 10 years. I guess everybody's eyes glaze over. We owe $23 trillion. Nobody seems to, you know, if you went back 50 years ago and you told everybody, by the way, we're going to at one point owe $23 trillion, I think there would be maybe some panic, real panic. And now it's like the lobster in the pot. You know, if you just slowly turn the temperature up on him, he thinks everything's fine. So now we're boiling to death. I don't know when this whole thing is going to collapse. I'm beginning to wonder, would it ever collapse? I mean, is there ever a breaking point where, I mean, is it 60 trillion? Is it 100 trillion? Where is it? How is it? When is it that all of a sudden everything underneath collapses and we go in this huge downward spiral? Or is there such, is there such a thing that's coming like that?
You know,
how's that for a question?
There is no answer, and that's the problem. Is anyone that makes a prediction of a sort of cataclysmic cliff that's ahead of us at a certain number will inevitably get that prediction wrong. But what we know is that huge amounts of debt, when we look at across the world, when governments increase debt as a percent of their economies grow more slowly. We also know that you can't continue to pile up large amounts of debt indefinitely. It has to stop at some point. Mm-hmm. The question is simply when. And the problem for the United States and getting our fiscal house in order is that global debt markets are really a beauty contest where we look better than Europe. We look better than Japan. You sort of go down the list, and although we look really bad, we have one fewer wart than all of those other options. And so my fear is that the politicians here in Washington will be able to continue to dig the hole deeper and deeper, which means when that event does happen, when it all falls apart, it'll be even more painful, and it'll be most painful for the people that didn't make that decision to dig us into debt.
I guess as long as we've got people and countries, entities that are willing to loan us money because we're going to give them a good or a decent rate of return, they will continue to do so. But they have to believe that we will have that ability to give them that interest rate, and that, you know, that they will actually make money on the sale of the money that they're giving to us. I guess that's basically.
Well, what they're betting on is that a future United States government will have the wherewithal and the ability to tax the American people enough to pay them back. So that debt is simply just future taxes. We don't know when those future taxes will have to be levied, but when the bill comes due, all of those relatively smart investors, I would think, are making the probably smart bet that our taxes are going to go up significantly to pay them back. It's just a matter of when.
Well, Adam, you're leaving me with a big guilt feeling now, because that means the grandkids and the great-grandkids, this is what we're going to give them, apparently, because they got to pay it back at some point. You always hear that, by the way. And we're leaving all of this terrible mess for our grandkids and our great-grandkids, you know? And I don't know. I mean, are we? Is that what we're doing?
Yes, undoubtedly. That's what's happening. The longer we push this out, the bigger pile of debt that's out there. Someone's going to have to pay it back, and right now it's looking like it's not going to be this generation. It's going to be the next, and so as soon as the sort of debtors come calling, the taxes have to go up, and whoever's left sort of holding that pile of debt will be the ones that have to pay.
That's kind of a scary scenario. But, Adam, it's always a pleasure to talk with you. Thank you so very much, and I know we'll be chatting again down the road.
Excellent. Well, have a good one. Thanks for having me on.
All right. Adam Michelle. Okay, let's take our break, and we will turn now to some other things that have Joe Biden's involvement, including this impeachment imbroglio, and Nancy Pelosi making an announcement that they're going to proceed with it, whatever that means. We will get the take.
I don't think it's going to get anything close to this.
You don't?
No, you're talking about the whole tax thing. Biden's never going to sniff the nomination. Not after the creepy hairy leg thing that came out a couple weeks ago. That's disgusting. Can you imagine? I mean, I don't hear enough people talking about it. Can you imagine if
it didn't make any sense, first of all? It sounded like something went wrong. We're talking about Joe Biden, and that's who you're referring to. It sounded like something. You know how you have a brain, a little mini stroke? Go ahead.
But can you imagine if Trump said something like that? Here he is. He's at a public pool. He's bound around a bunch of little African-American kids. And then he breaks what he's saying, and he puts his arm around this little girl.
It's getting really creepy.
And here he is.
And by the way, you know, I sit on the stand, and it get hot. I got hairy legs that turn blonde in the sun. And the kids used to come up and reach in the pool and rub my leg down.
At that point, I'd say, honey, get out of the pool. Get away from that man.
Not out of the pool. I'd get out of the county. This man, this is the guy that you always worried about. You know, you always worried about him. He was the guy that hung around the bus stop where the kids were congregating, peeking, waiting for the school bus. This is getting a little weird.
Peeking through the bushes, you know,
yes.
Sucking on an ice cream cone.
Ed, why are you bringing us to this level? We're trying to have some sort of a sophisticated program. Anyway, let's take our break. And when we come back, we're going to talk to a sophisticated barber, Andrew the Master Barber.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
Don't miss the Craft Beer Hour every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. We'll bring you up to speed on craft beer events and festivals, local breweries, and interview the brains behind the brews. So grab a pint and listen to the Craft Beer Hour every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network, and visit the website, thecraftbeerhour.com.
Let's Go Bowling, heard on the Tantalk Radio Network every Wednesday, 11 a.m. to 12 Eastern Time, sponsored by 12 Strike and Innovative Ball Spinner. If you bowl, if you haven't bowled in a while, or if you never bowled, why don't you be one of 65 million people have bowled last year? Listen to the tip of the week, bowling stars old and new. Let's Go Bowling Show, GoBowlingShow.com.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Back on a Friday morning. It's kind of nice out. It's sunny and a little bit brisk. I like it. Gets my energy level up. And another thing that gets my energy level up is talking with the Master Barber, best barber, by the way, in Tampa Bay, Andrew the Master Barber. And Andrew, it was a busy day for two Democrats yesterday trying to go after people that were asking questions they were not comfortable with. One was Nancy Pelosi. And apparently,
she got the jitters there, didn't she?
She got the jitters, and she really got upset when James Rosen, who, by the way, is now working, I guess, for the Sinclair Network. It's conservative. He used to work for Fox News. He asked the dear lady, "Do you hate the president?" Where she really kind of got upset with that one. She doesn't hate anybody. She finger-pointed at him.
She says she's a Catholic. Well, and Catholics don't hate anybody.
Well, that's true.
I don't know. I know a lot of Catholics that hate people.
Well, I was just going to tell you that's why they excommunicated me, because every once in a while I did have a hate
yeah,
motive.
Yeah.
But it wasn't just her. Apparently,
no.
Uncle Joe was at an Iowa event, and a retired Iowa farmer, about 83, confronted him and wanted to know more about his son's business activities in Ukraine. He also said that Biden was just too damn old to be running for the office.
You know what he did? Joe should have pulled up his pants. You showed him the hair on his legs is gray now.
Well, there you go.
A little bit older.
Yeah, exactly. Say, you know, I'm as old as you are, a little bit older, and I know I couldn't do, I have no business running, and neither do you.
Listen, Paul, they know they're under fire, Paul.
So I was going to ask you, which way is this all going? That, with Pelosi announcing that they're going to proceed, and I'm thinking, okay, what do they mean by proceed? I mean, I'm
Paul,
even...
Paul, then nothing's going to happen.
Nothing at all.
They're not going to... Paul, they got to be stupid to take a vote on it.
I'm beginning to think they might be stupid.
Well,
I mean,
they've proven that. I mean, well, they can take a vote. You know what's going to happen then. I want to see them all get subpoenaed and turn down the subpoenas. Then what happens?
And this is all coming on the eve of the Inspector General's report. When I say eve, Monday.
I heard that Nancy Pelosi's supposed to be doing something Monday to try and pull away from that.
What have you heard, my friend?
I heard that she was going to have some kind of impeachment inquiry or something she's supposed to have, and supposedly at the same time that this is supposed to come out.
Oh, in other words, to offset the publicity.
Right, okay. Exactly. Yes, yes.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't put it past anybody to do that. But we're going to have simultaneous finger-pointing dealies going on next week, are we not?
I told you that already started with Lisa Page there the week before.
Right.
She's trying to defend herself. They're all going to be coming out of little moleholes trying to defend themselves. But again, I don't believe that this report is going to be everything that everybody's expecting either.
No, that's what, well, a lot of people are warning that the Inspector General's report can only focus on current employees of the Justice Department. If they're not involved currently in the Justice Department or an employee, whether that's the FBI or some other department there, they're not going to go after them.
One question. Who appointed Horowitz to his position that he has?
Now you're
Any
putting
idea?
Me on the spot. It might have been Trump. Because they were shuffling everybody around when Trump came in.
Right,
and people were coming and going, and I'm not sure, you know, but Trump didn't know a lot of these people. And
right,
he
I'm
got
wondering
recommended,
if Horowitz, too, might have been someone left over in the Obama era.
He might have been left over, and he might have been acting, and then they made him the Inspector General. And you know how everybody's bumped up, and then other people leave? I mean, there was such a shuffling.
Right.
So what are you questioning his objectivity? Is that what you're referring to?
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Michael Horowitz... for sure, is not a big-time Trump backer. That I can tell you. Remember, he was the guy, was he not the guy that said at some point that maybe they could bring up the treason thing and they were going to do some sort of recording
yes,
him for treason.
Yes. Rosenstein.
Yeah. So I tend to agree with you. I think Horowitz might pull his punch.
Yeah, I think he's going to too. So I'm not expecting too much out of it.
Mm-hmm.
To be honest with you, and I believe the Democrats are just rolling along because, like you said, you saw Biden and Pelosi. They're getting very edgy. Something's got to come out somewhere. But who knows what and when.
We're talking with Andrew the Master Barber, who is the proprietor of the only poll that really matters.
Did you see yesterday that Newsweek announced their Woman of the Year on the cover of Newsweek magazine?
I did not. Who is it?
2019, Michelle Obama.
Really?
Yep, and I would like to know
why
she's done in the year 20. That's what I'm wondering. Why?
Yeah, she's not been around doing anything that I know of.
Well, I told you, Paul, this is going to be a setup for her coming into the 2020 election.
You know who they should select is Trump's wife. She's been.
Oh, she's done everything. That's never going to happen.
She's been.
Paul, they will not give Melania credit.
She's been nothing if not classy through everything.
That's right. However, I told you,
they're not
getting set up here. That Michelle Obama, I'm going to see her coming out of the woodwork. Why? Who knows? Well, you know, they think she's that popular. Is she going to beat Trump? It's never going to happen. But, you know, they have nothing, nowhere. They're going crazy right now because I think you're seeing the fall of the Democrat Party.
Speaking
and I can't believe they want to pull an impeachment vote because the Senate's going to, you know, they're going to probably call Hunter Biden as their first witness. But Joe Biden already said he won't answer no subpoenas, right?
Oh, that'll be great when he won't answer our subpoena for an impeachment hearing. That'll be interesting.
That's what I'm saying, you know. So if they sit there and get pulled as witnesses to get subpoenaed, they all going to turn it down and say they're not showing up.
Are you a fan of Howard Stern?
I saw that Hillary Clinton
yes.
interview with
well,
him.
That's what
he's
I'm leading to.
Kind of a jerk.
Hillary
yeah,
Clinton.
I thought he's, yeah, go ahead.
No, she sits down with him. Why would she do that unless she wants to stay relevant for some reason? I guess
well,
that's my question.
She still thinks she's going to get in there for 2020. So, but, you know, Democrats don't even want her. Unless they think they got in a handbag with Hillary Clinton and Michelle Obama running together.
Well, now their tongues are wagging again that she is seriously thinking that the current crop of Democratic nominees aren't going to do nothing. And kind of
that's
like
right.
Bloomberg, you know, I'm going to get in because we need something better.
He's got 6% of their vote, Bloomberg. He's got nothing. And he'll end up with nothing because they don't want him either.
I mean, what is the reason other than that? Is she pushing a book again, or isn't that book kind of over the hill now?
I told you the other day, everybody's pushing books.
Well,
everywhere
that's
you
true.
Turn.
That's true. But,
yeah, everywhere you turn. I mean, I think Fox News sponsors every book writer, you know, that's on their show. Every one of them have written a book.
They have. Now, that's a very good point. Everybody does have a book. You know what? You're not relevant, apparently, if you haven't written a book.
Yeah.
And you're on Fox these days.
Yeah, it just amazes me. That channel itself has just turned into a sales thing.
Well, yeah, I think there is some of that. But, you know, if you want to go to, hard news, it used to be you would go, you know, years ago, as you know, CNN, Turner, Broadcasting, et cetera, they'd have headline news and they'd have CNN and regular news. And you could go there and expect to get some sort of news. Now, it's 100% opinion. At least Fox seems to continue to talk news a little bit. I don't know.
Like I told you, I watch OAN when I want to news. There's no question about
that. That's right.
That station needs to get a little bit more popular than it is, but it keeps growing.
And what does those initials stand for again?
One American News Network.
Okay.
OANN.
OANN.
Yeah,
I'm going to look that up. It's not currently, from what I can see, on the Spectrum cable system.
Mm-hmm. No, Spectrum, I guess you got to pay $5 a month extra.
You do. You can get it then. Ed, what
you
do you think?
You can get it, but it's going to cost you $5.
Ed, do you watch Fox at all? I'm asking Big Ed here. Or do you watch any of that too much?
If I do, I watch Fox. I mean, I get disgusted watching the whole thing.
Ed watches football all the time.
Oh, yeah. No, he's our sports expert.
You know what was funny? I don't know if you... Andrew saw this on Facebook. You know the jokes when you go and you have somebody paged as, you know, Alan Wrench or, you know, something like that for a joke? Somebody went up to Walmart and had them page, and they wrote this down with a K. Clinton Killespine. And a woman announced, "Would Clinton Killespine..."
Oh, for goodness sake.
Major party at the front door.
I just got it.
She did. She said it like three times, and the guy just said, "Say it slow because they're older people." Clinton, Killespine.
Okay.
And you still hear bits and pieces about that, though, you know?
Well,
they said now the elf on the shelf didn't hang itself. Somebody hung him. Now these things are coming out.
Is it true Epstein's lead banker or whatever, he committed suicide just recently?
Yeah. I heard that, too. Yep. It's amazing, isn't it? There's so many suicides.
You know, Howard Stern might be next.
Yeah, now that he did the Hillary Clinton interview. Although, again, she seems to like him. And he seemed to like her. But then he asked about her sexual preference. She said, no. And I have to admit, I think, you know, for all of the things that Hillary Clinton has done, that was the one thing I thought was always a cheap shot on her. I know you guys are going to probably have different feelings. But I always thought that one is a cheap, really cheap shot.
I don't know. They said she wrote on the Lolita Express a couple of times.
All right. Okay, yeah. But... I mean, there's enough things that she's done. You don't even have to go to that area, you know. But anyway, she answers the question on the Stern Show. That was the first time, apparently, she's been asked directly.
And she said she likes men.
She loves men.
I heard that.
Yeah.
So well, she's got her stuff on man there, so.
Yeah.
She's all set.
She should have followed it up with, now if I could just find one.
I guess so. You know, we're sitting,
that'd be a tough job for her, too.
You know, this radio interview has really deteriorated now that I think about it. Here, we could be talking, you know, sophisticated things. Let me ask you, finally, Andrew the Master Barber, I mean, now that you heard Pelosi say they're going to proceed with impeachment, does that mean that you will now change your bet on whether or not the House of Representatives will vote?
I still don't think they're going to.
You don't?
No.
Okay.
I think they're just going to prolong this and prolong this and prolong this.
Do you think...
Taking up publicity time, get the free publicity. You know, bad publicity is good publicity. Who knows what they're thinking, but they got to be fools to do it.
You would think that, you know, everybody claimed, well, Nancy Pelosi is really... You know, experienced and really smart, and she always is a vote counter. Well, if she's a vote counter, she must apparently have decided that she counted the votes of about 26 or 31 Democrats that are in these purple districts, which means that there's a chance they could offend their constituency by voting for impeachment.
Yeah, they might hold the vote, but might not get all the votes either.
Well, that would make them really look bad, wouldn't it, after all of this?
It would. Democrats. I mean, you know, there are some Democrats saying they're not going to vote for the impeachment.
That's what I'm wondering. Do you think that there might be enough votes to not get a majority in Congress?
It might happen. Like you said, there's like 31 different areas where it's a Trump county. So
yeah,
can't predict it. But, you know, Paul, right now everything's up in the air. We're all waiting to see who throws the next dice.
You are right, sir. And this week coming up will be really, really interesting with
Monday we'll see who's got snake eyes, you know?
Competing political party stories going on here.
That's it. I mean, we're not going to know until who rolls the dice Monday first. We'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens. Well, Andrew, as always, thank you so very much, my friend. And God willing, we'll be talking with you next week.
All right, Paul. Take care.
All right. There he goes, the Master Barber and his barber pole. We're going to take our break. When we come back, among other things, we're going to talk with our friend here, Big Ed, about what's going on in the world of sports. Also, the Supreme Court and homelessness. About a working on summer just to try to earn a dollar.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
Are you looking for some great restaurants? For some great wines? Where are the great chefs? Listen to Dine Out Radio, heard every Wednesday on the Tantalk Radio Network. 12 to 1 p.m., we'll tell you where all the great events are. We'll have Food and Wine Magazine and Bon Appetit Magazine. We'll have their editors and writers on each month. And maybe we'll throw in a couple surprises. Check out the website, diningoutradio.com. My bridge is all...
Hey, everybody, this is Pastor Marcia McAllister from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We want you to join us on Sunday afternoons at 3 o'clock on this radio station for our two-hour show, talking to you about the Word of God, giving you great contemporary music, some lively chat, and just some food for thought. You'll be encouraged to know how very much God loves you and how He has a plan for your life. Join us this coming Sunday at 3 o'clock on Living the Good Life.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we're back with the final segment on a Friday of Freedom Works, and we thank you so very much for sticking with us. Well, the Supreme Court is meeting today to consider for the first time whether the Constitution allows homeless people the right to sleep on the sidewalk. They're weighing an appeal of the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. that held that it was cruel and unusual punishment to force criminal laws against homeless people who are trying to live on the street if there are not enough beds available in shelters. Now, that's the big question, the big if, right? So they're going to take a look at this and look what's going on. We talked on our last show about all of the things that were going on in the city of Oakland and with logs in front of stores now to keep people from sleeping on the sidewalk in front of their retail stores. But this is one thing that everybody is quoting is this 1968 Supreme Court opinion in which several justices question whether people that have medical issues, chronic alcoholics at that time, that's what they called it, whether they can be punished for being drunk in public if they cannot control themselves. And it says, this principle compels the conclusion that the Eighth Amendment prohibits the imposition of criminal penalties for sitting, sleeping, or lying outside on public properties for homeless individuals who cannot obtain shelter. So, where does the governmental body, in this case perhaps a local city, have the right to take people and pull them away from a sidewalk area and tell them to go somewhere else? It becomes kind of weird. And I don't know exactly what they're going to do, but you would think a conservative court would say that the local governments, in fact, do have the power to do such things. It's going to be very interesting. We'll find out exactly what down the road, I'm sure. Okay. Before we get to our top 10, which is, by the way, a good one, top 10 richest American towns, I want to talk with Big Ed because, first of all, my Bears won a football game last night, Ed.
Good game.
It was a good game, and it got close at the end, and I was starting to worry a little bit, but it was a good game. And now our beloved Bucks are going to be hosting the Indianapolis Colts on Sunday. And it seems like Jameis Winston has been, and we talked about this, has been performing perhaps a little bit better. I want you to give us your thoughts. Are they going to be able to beat the Colts? What's going on?
It depends on which team shows up. It really does. I mean, they could totally dominate or they could totally just fall apart. I don't know. They're 5-7 right now. And there's I'm not going to say they're going to make the playoffs, but there's a glimmer of hope that they could actually maybe pull it out, 8-8 season out, maybe, which would be, I think, a success. But everything is still coming down to the answer after the year is over, what's going to happen with Jameis Winston. Because, man, there's a lot of season ticket holders that are no more because of him. And they're just going to wait another year, It's a tough call.
Now, I was reading, on ESPN, that there is a good crop of quarterbacks in this upcoming draft. Now, mm-hmm. would that be... Yeah, and they do mention in stories that I have read that actually Jameis Winston is one of the... And the Bucks are one of the teams that might be looking for something a little different.
It depends. I mean, like I said, if he plays... okay, like he's played okay, not great, not fabulous, not his worthiness of an overall first round pick, number one overall pick. Absolutely not. Here's the thing, and I've talked to some other guys in the media. We all talk about what's he going to be worth? What's Jameis going to be worth? Because we don't think he's an elite quarterback to be paid $25 million. On the other hand, when this comes down to negotiation, what does Jameis and his agent think he's going to command and what he's worth? They could be very far apart, very far. And that might be the easiest way out for the Buccaneers is that, look, he wanted all this money. He's not worth 5 years. He's not worth 5 years. And to a football player, they want longevity. They want a 5-year contract. He's not going to get a 5-year. He could get a 3-year, and it's not going to be $20 million a year. It could be 3 years, and poor thing could only get maybe $12 or $15 million a year. Is he willing to take that? I don't know.
Very interesting. Okay, very quickly, are the Bucks winning or losing the game against the Colts on Sunday?
Colts pretty well banged up. Don't play very well on the road, outside, natural grass. I think the Bucks could squeak it out with a field goal.
Okay, that would be exciting. All right. You have to move over, my friend, to the drums because we've got a good one this time. These are the top 10 richest towns in America. This comes from Bloomberg, which does financials, so they might know something about it. And let's see if, let's just see where all of these towns are. Here we go, number 10. Yeah. Wow, now that was quite a drum sound. I like that.
I like the cash register.
That's really good.
Cash register.
Ed, you're quick.
Cash register.
The number 10 is Glencoe, Illinois. That's north of Chicago. The average household income there is $340,000. They got about 9,000 residents. 10th richest town. Number 9. Grab some for me, will you? Number 9 is Bronxville, New York. Have you ever heard of Bronxville, New York?
Bronx, but not Bronxville.
No, Bronxville. Average income there is $340,000. It's only 15 miles north of New York City. Okay, number 8. Well, we're going to be rich if we keep doing this. Number 8, I've heard of, and they've always been up there, Darien, Connecticut. Average household income, $341,000. About an hour away from New York. Number 7. Well, we're getting out of the North and Midwest. Highland Park, Texas. Highland Park. Average, $359,000. And let's see, just outside of Dallas. Okay, number 6.
Probably oil country.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right about that. Number 6, back east, Short Hills, New Jersey. Never heard of Short Hills. Mm-hmm. Average income there, $367,000. They got about 13,000 people there. Wow. Okay, number 5. You know, in a few minutes, there's not going to be anything to scrape out of there. Number 5 is Hillsborough, California. Average income, $373,000. It's just outside of San Francisco. All right. Number 4. We stay in California. Los Altos Hills, California. Average income, $386,000. That's also just, this has got to be a techie area, just outside of San Francisco. Number 3. I love the name of this town, Cherry Hills Village, Colorado. Now, they are just over $394,000 average income, and it's just south of Denver. You ever heard of it? You go skiing out there. No? Okay. Mm. Number 2. Scarsdale, New York.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's old wealth there. $417,000. It's just about an hour outside New York City. All right, Ed, here we go. The number 1 richest town in America.
You say Beverly Hills, California.
Well, you know what? You're not far off.
Huh?
You're not far off. Atherton, California. Average household income, $451,000. It is the wealthiest town, let's see, 3 years in a row. It's the wealthiest town, just outside of San Francisco. So there you go. Homeless people in San Francisco, rich people outside. Thanks for listening. Back Monday. Always remember, freedom works. In painted on jeans.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3